Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Dr. Sophie. This is our weekly podcast. We have a very special guest today and a really very interesting topic. And the history behind how this book came to be is even more unbelievable. So we're going to be talking to I don't want to give her name yet. I'm going to wait. But I am going to be joined by my usual little sidekick, Mary Carey, who is now not in California right now. She's in Florida.
Hi, Dr. Sophie.
Are you moving back?
I miss you. There's a big chance I might be. We'll see what's going to happen here with my husband's situation. But if he's not practicing medicine in Florida, then we'll be back in California.
Good.
Or if I'm not with him, I'll be back in California. So either
way. All right. So you guys listening out there, I want you to dial 1-855-SOPHIE now or 1-855-767-4966. Each caller will receive a free signed copy of my book, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Conflict-Free Communication Program. All right, Mary, so I want to introduce our guest. You didn't get to see the book yet, but you're going to love it. And her name...
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. Her name is Brynn Hockman, and she's in studio with me. Say hi, Brynny.
Hi, Brynny. You said to say hi, Brynny.
Just say hi.
Brynn, I'm very jealous that you get to be with Dr. Sophie, because I love him. He is the greatest. He has changed my life. He's amazing. I love him. Like, I want to live with him and have him around me 24 hours a day. If I win the lottery, that is what I'm doing. Like, he will be with me everywhere I go.
All right. So anyway, Brynn is a 17-year-old. She's going to be a senior in high school. Probably has all straight A's. I don't even want to know. And perfect scores on all her tests. But she is going to tell us about her kind of background and how life led her to this place where she wrote this incredible children's book. So, Brynn, how did it even start?
It all started about 7 years ago in 2008 when I went to Israel with my family, because my eldest brother, Tyler, had decided that he wanted to deliver wheelchairs, about 280 wheelchairs, to Israel as part of his bar mitzvah project. And then it went to my second brother, Harrison, in South Africa. And then it went to me, and we delivered about 280 wheelchairs again in Vietnam.
So wait, like, tell me, you guys buy these?
We fundraise. It's about, I think, $42,000 for 280 wheelchairs.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes a lot.
What do you fundraise? What do you do?
Family, dad's business partners, you know, just friends and corporations that could help, you know, raise the money.
So you're not out in front of Ralph selling candy bars?
Definitely.
Good.
Anything for the cause.
Good.
And then the steps, you fundraise, then you buy the wheelchairs. They come from China, and then they're shipped to the place that you're delivering them. And we partner with the American Wheelchair Mission.
And then how do you know who needs them, or do people order them? Or?
So we then partner with a local organization like the Rotary Club in Vietnam, or some organization in Israel, like just finding the people there to then distribute the wheelchairs.
And don't they say, like, who are these Americans calling to dump wheelchairs? Like, can we trust them? Do you ever have to go through that stuff?
Not really, because the people that we're finding in those countries have already worked with the American Wheelchair Mission, so they've already established a relationship.
So it must feel good.
It feels wonderful.
What do you think about that, Mayor?
I will be willing to, if we need money, I will stand on Hollywood Boulevard for us. And wait, I forgot, she's only 17. Okay,
right.
Never mind. But I will help you raise money any way I have to.
Thank you.
Actually, I would like to do this. It sounds amazing. My mom's in a wheelchair and everything. So
yeah,
you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
So then you get the wheelchairs, you deliver them, they're delivered, whatever. Do you go there when they're delivered?
Yes. So that was a big point of contention between my parents. My brother started this whole thing, was that we wanted to go with the wheelchairs to the recipients' homes. And so we directly see the response of both the recipient, but also the family. Because every wheelchair affects about like 10 members. And it's not just giving the gift mobility to that one person. It's giving it to the whole community.
But
that
talk about that, because I'm sure it's got to be impactful.
So the first recipient that I remember was in Israel. And we walk into his home right along. His home was located along the Gaza Strip. And we see this guy, and his whole right leg is blown off because of one of the Hamas bombs. And I remember seeing his face when we wheeled the wheelchair in, and it just lit up, and his wife's face lit up.
How do you not cry?
Oh, my God, I cried so many times. Yeah. I think I brought, like, a whole bag of tissues with me every single time we went to someone's house.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
wow.
It was, I mean, they're normally being dragged by their family member, picked up in a barrel.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's...
Wow.
a wheelchair is definitely, you know, like better form.
Yeah, it's like a Bentley for them.
Yes. It's one way to think of it.
If you're LA based.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you give them and then you spend time with them and you leave then? You stay in touch?
We actually, when I'm there, I always find out their story. Like why, what put them in a wheelchair, if they were born that way, or like the man in Israel, something happened to him to cause him to be in the wheelchair. And recently when we were in West Virginia delivering wheelchairs, we went into this one woman's home and she had Michael Jackson memorabilia all along her walls, like clothes pouring out of boxes on the floor. And I remember turning to my mom and asking her, like, is this wheelchair going to be enough, or can we get her a life-size cutout of Michael Jackson?
Right.
And I asked her that, and she's like, I'll take the cutout, right. Like, in addition to the wheelchair, of course. But definitely that was memorable.
That's nice, because most of these people are probably homebound.
Mm-hmm. Come on, girl!
Oh, that was Michael.
That's Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So how come they're not getting one in the United States, how are they not qualifying for Medicaid to give them wheelchairs? Why don't they get them
through
our healthcare program?
I'm just
curious about that.
When we were in West Virginia, we asked one of the organizations that we partner with, and a wheelchair or even like a cane, they have lists of recipients that go for like 4 years is a waiting list.
Wow.
And they're not going to get a wheelchair until like 2025. So it's crazy because they don't have enough money to supply wheelchairs for everyone. So then they have to find somewhere else.
And people can't afford it themselves. So
exactly.
So sad, but you're changing the world. You're like giving
people amazing.
Their legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I know.
They'll see things they never see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's that feel?
It feels amazing. It's life-changing. I think, you know, when I think about my friends and the experiences that I've had compared to them, it's just like my eyes have seen so much more, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, lots of pain, too.
Yeah, lots of pain.
And your brothers feel the same?
Yes, they do feel the same. I think I've taken it a step farther. Rather than it just being like a mitzvah project for my brothers, it actually has been more than that for me. And that all has to do with, like, my character, because I believe in helping people and traveling to these countries to directly give the wheelchairs really, really important.
Yeah, there shouldn't be anything to stop you.
Mm-hmm. No obstacle that's not, you know, too high enough to climb.
So
I want to go with you. Dr. Sophie, I want to go with her. Let's go, the three of us.
Okay.
We're going to Ecuador this August.
Yeah, they're going to Ecuador.
So you can come.
You go too, Dr. Sophie. You have to come too.
Okay, I'll go too.
Oh, my gosh, this would be so fun.
It would be.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you translate that project to I wrote a book?
Well, the book is inspired by all the deliveries that my family and I have taken.
And how many are there to date?
To date? One Israel, two South Africa, three Vietnam, four West Virginia.
Wow.
And then five will be
Ecuador.
Ecuador.
And so how did you translate that and move on to being an author?
Well, this book is about a rabbit who is too afraid to play basketball. So all he does is he's the water bunny for the team.
Aww.
And his friends are like, other names are Kanga, Bear, you know, just like other jungle friends. And what inspired me to write about basketball specifically is that I've seen people in wheelchair play basketball. You know, there's like the wheelchair Olympics.
Yeah.
So it's not like something
out of the ordinary.
Out of the ordinary. It happens all the time, and this is what people are doing. And it's also geared towards maybe like 6 to 9 years old. And I think it's really important that age, you know, those ages see that all different people exist and all different walks of life exist.
People with legs, no legs, arms, all that stuff.
Exactly. And that's why I chose to do a children's book, and that's why it's rhyming, too, to gear towards that age.
And basketball, because you could show that people that are handicapped can play basketball.
Exactly.
So there's no barriers to life.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Great.
Thank you.
What do you think about that, Mary?
I love it. I now feel like I have not accomplished anything in my life.
Right.
But,
funny.
But, yeah, no, I think it's amazing, you know, and I also, just hearing her story, you know, thinking about people in wheelchairs and everything brings me back down to earth. I've been feeling so much, you know, helps me feel gratitude, just not only for my mom who's, you know, been in a wheelchair, but luckily she's given everything through Medicaid, but also I've been feeling so much self-pity. I was in a car accident and I have to wear a neck collar. And when I think about these, you know, when you're talking about you know, people having their legs blown off and in a wheelchair, you know, in a barrel and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think, wow, I'm sitting here feeling bad for myself because I have to wear a collar and I can't exercise.
Yeah. You know? I mean, Mary, just look at how resourceful your mother is. She really doesn't have anything, any barrier to her life. She does the things she wants. Mm. She eats the things
she
wants.
And my mom loves her place. She loves her. She loves her rehabilitation center, her nursing home she lives in. She loves it. She won't leave.
So, Bryn, tell me why, what the book has in connection to just, is it the story that you're connecting, or do you get more wheelchairs from that book, or what's the deal?
Definitely. All the profits from the sale of the book go to raising money to buy and purchase more wheelchairs to hopefully then deliver.
So this is another fundraising source, but also an educational one.
Definitely.
Do you think older people can read the book?
Oh, yeah.
Will they get the same message?
I hope so. I mean, it's if six-year-olds can get it, I think older people can do.
I would hope so, but you never know. So do you plan on writing anything else? Are you going to continue writing? I mean, was it a good experience?
It was an educational experience.
Why?
That's
Tell me.
For sure.
What does that mean?
It started in 10th grade, so about a year ago, and it took me a year to write it, to write with the right meter and the cadence, because it is rhyming. So I had to go down different avenues. And then this summer, I've been working on marketing the book, which also takes a lot of time and energy, like reaching out to bloggers and libraries and schools to do more book readings. It's a lot more work than I thought it would
be. Oh,
yeah,
it is.
But I'm really happy with the response that I've been getting.
Like what? What are you getting?
Well, recently I went to my elementary school and did a book reading to the kindergarten class.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing.
Wow.
I actually, that was probably one of the best experiences that I've had with this book. And, you know, I got to see the faces of the kids that are reading these books, and this book specifically. And they would ask me, like, really simple questions that I took for granted, like, what is a wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
Even how do you get in a wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you build that? Like, just, like, really simple questions that, you know, I didn't think of.
So when you're doing all that, how does it make you feel? More tears?
Definitely more tears, more tissues. I was kind of stunned and taken back by, you know, the curious minds of six-year-olds.
And so when you have people reading your book, what, based on their age, I guess, what's mm-hmm. the message you want them to leave with?
I would say that this book talks about strength and courage and finding that with your friends, that you can overcome that if you have a good support system. And it's not, this book is not about his disability. That I wanted to normalize. It wasn't like that's the center of this book and that's what it should be. Rather, he gets the courage from his friends to join the team, to play basketball.
To break through that barrier.
Yes. It,
but the barrier wasn't the wheelchair.
Exactly.
That's interesting. So do six-year-olds get that?
When I read the book to them and I stop in the middle of the book and ask them about any fears that they've had and if they have helped people overcome their fears or if someone has helped them overcome their fears. So I kind of allude to it. Hopefully they pick it up, but then continue reading the book and kind of point out the fact that Rabbit, the character in the wheelchair, is helped by his friend Kanga get over his fear.
So it takes other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
And do kids ask questions like that about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they totally do. I even bring pictures of my wheelchair deliveries, and I tell them about how one wheelchair affects the whole family and one wheelchair affects the whole community. And that goes along with the idea that, you know, you can overcome a fear by having other people help you through it.
Right. It doesn't mean you're broken.
Exactly.
Do you plan on continuing to write?
Yeah, I do. This could be a series, like the other wheelchair sports, basketball, even tennis, or, you know, other
so
sports could be
would
it.
You say that?
I think you should do one about dance. You should do one about, there's actually a girl I know who does dance and performs and stuff on Instagram, and she's in a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
and I did ballet. I think you should do a book about someone becoming, you know, especially for, like, you know, girls and stuff to see that they can,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might not be able to do ballet. I mean, you can make the main character the star of the Nutcracker, and she,
why don't you do it with her, Mary?
Okay, but I'm Hina. Oh, you know what? In fact, I'm just going to go write my own book.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, Mary's a big dancer.
Yeah.
I don't mean pole, not just a pole.
Yes, no, I did that.
Sorry, Jono. Can somebody fan him? These men are pigs. Oink. So anyway, I think you should. But, I mean, you put a lot of thought in it. It comes across that way.
Thank you.
Really. And, yeah, I mean, you should do other ones.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely enjoy it. I love the whole process. Even though it's hard and tiring in some points, you know, I don't want to do it, but...
You have to.
Exactly.
You're
you
driven.
Have to.
Mm-hmm. Did you self-publish?
Yes. We are
Is that a hard process?
Yes.
Why?
It's a hard process because most libraries don't accept books that aren't through, like, Ingram Spark or other, you know, distributors. So it's rather the big libraries, the big bookstores, you have to go to small ones and get your name in there and kind of get traction on the lower levels to then, you know, get higher, more ground roots.
But how, did you find a company and you just publish it?
Like, yeah, we found a distributor, so someone to manufacture the books and then print them for us. But we have to do all the marketing and the stuff like that.
And they do the layouts with you?
Yes.
Who did the drawings? I saw that name. I didn't know who it was.
Dustin Burks. We found him online, actually.
Yeah.
And I never actually got to meet him, but I talked to him over the phone. And if you look at the book, you absolutely fall in love with the drawings.
Yeah.
And it took a while to find him, but I'm really happy and
what is he? Is he an illustrator or something?
Yeah, he's a digital artist illustrator. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really great book. It really is. Do you sign your books?
Do I sign them? I could.
You should.
I will then.
I want mine signed.
Okay.
I'll bring it. I have it at home. So are there other things that people can do to help and get involved in this wheelchair project that
Definitely.
You would recommend?
I would say even as simple as reading the book and understanding, as we've talked about, you know, that people have barriers that could be a physical disability, a mental disability, even just like the fear of being on a team, that don't stigmatize them and just understand and find out their story. And obviously donating to the American Wheelchair Mission and purchasing this book, those are bigger things. But a smaller thing, just educate yourself.
I think it's important to see that, you know, people can have an illness or whatever reason they need a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But so you deal with the emotional stuff of the disease. Then you have to deal with the emotional stuff that comes from the ramifications of the disease, because a lot of diseases don't have that.
Yeah.
And they can just take a pill and be done.
Totally.
But this is a lifelong kind of thing. So they have, like, layers to deal with. And that's a lot of fear and anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, so, especially also for the family as well.
Yeah, because it all falls and dribbles onto them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, Mary, firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, the caregiving aspect, as a caregiver, you know, it is hard. I took care of my grandmother for a really long time because I was never happy with the places that she was in. And, you know, that was very hard. I was doing that from age 19 till 23. And then my mom... Luckily, you know, at first there was places I didn't like. They kept discharging from the hospital, putting her in, you know, different facilities I didn't like until I found this one now. But it's, you know, it's definitely a lot of anxiety for the caregiver. And, I'm just grateful she has great care. I don't think a lot of people realize that. You know, a lot of people don't realize how hard it is for the whole entire family, like you said.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How do you decide what you're doing with the profits?
Well, all the profits go back to the American Wheelchair Mission. And, you know, I'm not taking anything from this book.
And so they'll go toward more. How many wheelchairs you've taken to Ecuador or haven't delivered or whatever?
We're taking 280 wheelchairs.
Wow. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're delivering them. We're going into the Amazon. We're hopefully going to connect with the president of Ecuador because he's the only sitting president actually in a wheelchair.
Wow.
Yeah,
his name's President Moreno, and his wife has an organization that deals with disability, and so we're hopefully going to connect with them to have maybe an event or have them come with us to deliver wheelchairs.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's going to be...
How long will you be there?
14 days.
So, like, what's a day look like? You get up in the morning...
How many days will we all be there? You and I are going to...
How many days will we all be there?
14. A day looks like probably going to around 3 to maybe 6 different people to deliver wheelchairs. That could be, you know, early in the morning to late at night.
And you have a truck and all that stuff?
Yeah, truck with the cardboard box of the wheelchair that we have to assemble at the recipient's
home. How long does that take?
Oh, it doesn't take long. Assemble is a bigger word than I should have used because it is already put together, but it's just like attaching the wheels and, you know, simple things.
Like not opening like the box?
Thing. Yes. It takes a lot of work. Yeah, so about like 3 to 6 homes or hospitals or, you know, not necessarily directly in line.
And so do you ever get to a place where like you're getting close to the end of the time you're there and you're still not like you still have more to deliver?
Oh, my God, all the time. I always feel like we should be doing more. Then I remember that there's a tomorrow and a day after that that we can continue delivering wheelchairs.
And then you leave, and is there a send-off or anything?
We leave. If we haven't delivered all the wheelchairs personally, we leave it to the organization that we partner with to get the wheelchairs to the last recipients.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then do you have something planned after Ecuador?
You mean as a wheelchair delivery?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
How do you pick?
Well, this time we picked Ecuador because of President Moreno and him being the only president in a wheelchair. But the other times it was more so the countries that the American Wheelchair Mission had already partnered with.
Yeah. And do they recommend to you who needs or like what country could use it more or
yes.
whatever?
Yeah. And we even chose, I think, 2 or 3 years ago to deliver wheelchairs within the United States. And that's when we went to West Virginia. In the Appalachians, because they have the highest obesity rate, highest disability rate, highest elderly rate, and so we targeted that area because they're
Very nice.
Most name.
So I have a feeling this isn't just a project. This
yeah.
is a life for you.
Yeah, it is.
This is going to be so good for a college application.
Wait, take the phone out of your armpit. What?
This is going to be really good for her college applications, having this charity.
Mary's very intelligent. She's very into school. No, she really yes. is. And so she's not kidding. It will be. But you already knew
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a feeling
yeah,
your parents yeah, probably told you that.
Not saying anything.
Right.
Where are you applying? Have you figured out schools you want to apply to?
Not yet.
Mary will write you a recommendation letter.
Yeah. Oh.
Exactly. I'll
when she ran for governor.
Time. Oh.
Yeah.
I'll take you are up
you
on it.
So you have no, you don't know at all yet where you'd want to go?
Not
you
yet.
Know.
Okay. She probably does.
Yeah. You don't want to jinx it.
No, she just doesn't want to sound like she's knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing. She wants to go to Stanford, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did you fall over, Mary?
On what, on social media?
No, I said she wants to go to Stanford.
Stanford?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Harvard, Yale, Stanford.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was going to I was thinking you should apply for an Ivy League school.
Well, her brothers are there. She has 2 brothers
oh.
there.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Well,
so
one
that's
now.
Where she's going.
Yeah.
Okay. So then that's where you're going. No, you should go somewhere different.
Why?
I don't know.
Right.
Just because. She could be the first to go somewhere else.
So I think this is...
I don't know. Don't ever listen to my advice. Always do the opposite of what I say. So,
we do.
Like, anytime I think something, I have to ask Dr. Sophie, and then I'm sometimes good at listening. Like, I'll go over a whole plan with Dr. Sophie over what I should do. I can intellectually see what I should do, and then somehow my emotional side takes over and I make the wrong decision. And this happens a lot. Mm-hmm. But,
it's
you
like
know.
Brain takeover more.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I need Dr. Sophie chained to me at all times, and then I wouldn't have bad decisions ever.
So what do you want to tell Bryn before we go here?
Let's see, Bryn. Well, I think this is amazing. And I found you to be very inspirational. And
I really
love that.
Do you realize that? It's very inspirational.
Thank you.
I know you think we're just saying whether or not.
Doing this.
Seriously.
No,
I mean,
it's amazing.
You change lives.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
and
great.
I just, charity and volunteer. Yeah,
she's blushing.
Someone as young as you to do something like this is remarkable. And the compassion you're having for others. I feel like a lot of teenagers, especially these days, not so much when I was a kid, but like are so wrapped up in
vaping,
you know, social media and well, just they don't think like this.
So
you
does
know?
That,
this
is like well, that's amazing. A good thing, Mary. I mean, yeah. Does that make it difficult for you to have friends? Do they, you know, a lot of kids your age aren't thinking this way or doing this kind of stuff?
Well, I think I've been given the perspective to find the friends that do care about this stuff.
Yeah.
And even if that's not that many, they are great friends and, you know, quality over quantity.
Did you find them?
Definitely.
Yes.
Good.
I have a good few.
So where
there's also a lot of kids who need community service hours for college.
That's
I'm just
true.
That was a horrible thing for me to say. But no.
It's
so
true.
Where can our listeners get this book?
They can get it on Amazon. If you just look up The Perfect Swish, you'll find
my
book.
Not that swish.
You'll find the book on there.
Good job. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, like, I don't know how else to tell you thank you. You're doing so much for the world. Like,
yeah, definitely.
The world.
The world.
Do you hear that?
Yes, I do. Loud and clear.
Yeah, you're very lucky. And the world's lucky to have you.
Thank you.
So keep doing it.
Will do.
And then let us know when you write your next book.
Okay.
And then we'll get tickets for Ecuador.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Dr.
I'll see you there.
It's going to be so fun. I'm so excited.
Yeah, until you see a lizard and you'll run.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, here at my house in Florida, I have iguanas in my backyard. I have frogs that come in. Like,
All right, so you're getting used to it.
Yeah, she's training.
I'm very used to it. So.
Good. All right, Mary, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I love you. It's very nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Dr. Sophie, I love you. And wait, does that mean I have to hang up? Okay.
Bye.
Dr. Sophie, I love you.
Okay, take care, Mary.
You're the best. You're
bye.
The best.
All right. So that was really very interesting. What an impressive young woman. She's doing so much for the world. It's unbelievable. And there's Mary in the background adding her humor, but also realizing it's a very real thing. And it's an unbelievable thing. And I wish more people were doing that. But she's a great inspiration, and hopefully she'll get people on board. And I want you to remember, as we usually do, there are four, I think, key concepts that you should take from today's podcast. And the first one is, whatever you're going to do that's going to be in this world of helping and giving back or community service, it has to be coming from your heart. If you're doing it because either there's a school requirement to do it, or your mother's making you do it, or you're supposed to do it, or whatever, it's not going to work. So it really has to be something that you think is going to speak to you, and it's coming from your heart. Also, I think you have to look at who is it going to benefit. It can't be benefiting you. It has to be benefiting others. And a lot of times it's self-serving, and that's, again, not going to go anywhere. So make sure you know who it's going to benefit, and it's benefiting the right people. And then the focus of whatever it is that you're going to do, the key is to educate people to whatever the purpose is. Like in this situation here, Bryn is educating people to not just the use of a wheelchair or how to access and get wheelchairs to people who need them, but she's also looking at the underlying issues, which are the mental health issues 9 out of 10 times, of fear and anxiety and how they, you know, translate into your life and how they will only make it worse. And so giving somebody a wheelchair is not just giving them a wheelchair. You're also addressing some of their fears and some of their anxiety. So educating people to what you're doing and why you're doing it is key. And also, I think it's important that it has to be a very community-focused endeavor that you're going to do, because if you're doing something for one or two people, yes, that's great. But I think the bigger issue is the more people you can affect, the better. So I think something like what she's doing is a worldwide thing, and it should be done. So broaden it and make it really deep and meaningful, and it has to come from your heart. So can't ask for more than that. I want to thank you guys for listening today and for calling in, emailing, doing all the things that you typically do. I also want you to remember that my podcasts are available on my website, which is www.drsophie.com, or on iTunes. My phone app is also available on iTunes, so go to the store, check it out. It'd be free. Also, my book, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication, is out there for purchase. And any listeners who want to follow me on Twitter and Facebook for updates on TV and news and podcasts and all that stuff, you'll know where I'm at and what I'm doing. Visit iTunes to download the full version of Andy Grammer's Keep Your Head Up. And don't forget to sweep.